This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Even to this day, the term the Tuck Rule game evokes a singular moment in NFL history, the 2001 AFC Divisional Playoff game between the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders, a controversial officiating decision involving quarterback Tom Brady's fumble, or Tuck Rule play, as is later known, significantly impacted the outcome of the game, propelling the Patriots to victory and eventually their first Super Bowl victory. This essay delves into the game and the controversy and its lasting legacy in the NFL. It's all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Okay, we're going to take an attempt to capture sort of the essence of the Tuck Rule game. And we're not going to be able to see video of it. There is some copyright restrictions in the NFL. We can't play the actual call by the announcers on the play. But let's see if a call that I would make by watching the game would satisfy you to take you back to that moment in time. Now, the scene is the AFC Divisional Playoff game, the final seconds of the second quarter. The New England Patriots are trailing the Oakland Raiders by the score of 10-3. There's a heavy snow. It's falling all on the ground, and the Oakland folks aren't used to the snow. New England, a little bit more used to it, but it's pretty white out there for the season of Christmas coming up in there, too. So let's get right into it with our game announcement. Second and long. Patriots desperately need a play. Brady takes a snap and drops back. Trouble. Raiders bringing pressure. He scrambles to the right, trying to find an open man. Oh, fumble. Stripped by Woodson. It's Wheatley for the Raiders. Touchdown practically seals the game with the ball in deep in territory for the Patriots. The Raiders have the ball. Wait a minute. Belichick throws a flag. They're stopping the play. What a turn of events here. Now the officials are huddled around Belichick. So let's see what they come up with. Replay is incoming. Folks, this could be a game changer. Wow, let's slow it down now. This is right on the edge. Can Brady have tucked that ball away in a throwing motion before the fumble? That's the whole ball game. The Tuck Rule. Here it comes. The arm starts to go forward just as the ball comes loose. And this will be close. Officials are talking it over. An incomplete pass is the call on the field. Belichick is sticking with his call, and the Patriots get a new lease on life. A huge turn of events, folks. We go into halftime with a completely different game on our hands. Now, that was a poor attempt on my part by calling the game and trying to relive it to make you remember it a little bit, but that's what it was for. Now, the game itself was nail-biting the whole way through. You take the drama of the weather, and then you have that defensive struggle between, two juggernauts of the NFL at that time. Belichick, an evil genius at defense. Wasn't yet quite known as the head coach genius that he is today, but this is what sort of puts him on that track. And, it's just a real close game with mere seconds remaining in that second quarter. And if Oakland gets the ball there, they get at least a field goal. You got to think. Maybe the weather plays havoc and they don't get the snap off or whatever, but they're deep in their territory. And Brady and the Patriots really get away with one there by many fans. Now, the Raiders linebacker Charles Woodson, in a move that could have been changed the course of the game, he stripped the ball, which Oakland safety Tyrone Wheatley then recovered. However, the referee Belichick was talking to, his name was actually, I think it was Belichick too, but not related to Belichick. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But he ruled that Brady had tucked the ball away in an attempt to pass before the fumble occurred, negating the turnover and awarding the Patriots possession. Now, the call sparked a firestorm of outrage from the Raiders and their fans, who believed the game had been stolen. And to tell you the truth, I can remember watching this. I had no skin in the game. I really didn't care who won, but I thought it was a fumble. I thought Oakland should have the ball, and I think they got screwed. But let's talk about this rule called the Tuck Rule. It was implemented just a few years earlier, 1999. It was designed to protect quarterbacks from fumbles caused by getting their arm hit when they were trying to, throw the ball. So the Tuck Rule was, if they had the ball and they were tucking it away or bringing it down to their body and got hit, okay, that's a fumble. If they're in the act of throwing the ball and the ball comes loose or their arm is in motion going forward, well, that's the Tuck Rule, and that they get away with that. And the Tuck Rule sort of crossed that line. So when you're bringing the ball down like you do today, and the ball comes loose, we know that's a fumble. Well, they're calling that the Tuck Rule, and that protected the quarterbacks a little bit more than they probably should have. However, its subjectivity and its rarity of its application in such a critical moment fueled this controversy. It really hadn't been used up to that point very much, and really people didn't even know what the Tuck Rule was. That was a two-year-old rule at that time, until this big play really blew it up, and then it was, all the fanfare then. The ensuing media frenzy dissected every angle of the play, with the opposing viewpoints highlighted by the rule subjectivity and the potential of officiating bias on the play. Even went to that point. Now, I don't know that the officials were biased on the play. I don't think Belichick talked them into anything. I think they were simply trying to apply a very, pardon my French, piss poor rule that really wasn't accomplishing anything that resembled football. It was trying to make it so offenses kept the ball longer, I guess. I'm not sure exactly why they would want to have that rule, but they did. Now, the Tuck Rule game's legacy extends far beyond that season. The controversy exposed the weakness of the Tuck Rule, leading to its revision in 2004, and the revised rule offered a more precise definition of a fumble in the context of a passing motion. The game also cemented the rivalry between the Patriots and the Raiders. Now, the Raiders sort of fell off in years after that, but think about who was on that Raiders team. John Gruden's the coach. Rich Gannon is their starting quarterback. They have Tim Brown, who's been there for a while. They also have Jerry Rice, who came over from the 49ers late in his career. So, and along with a lot of defensive stalwarts on that team as well. Patriots, they were sort of up and coming. They weren't the Patriots dynasty yet, but this is the game that sort of put them over the top to propel them into that Super Bowl. They were a very good team, but we've seen that time and time again where dynasties are made, sort of one defining moment, one play that takes it. We talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their 70s dynasty and the immaculate reception sort of propelling them to greater heights and took them on that great trajectory to dynasty. Well, the New England Patriots, I think many would consider this Tuck Rule play, the Tuck Rule game that the Patriots ended up winning, as we talked about, but could have been a different outcome if the Oakland Raiders score on that possession, if they are able to keep that ball right before the half. Could have changed the whole thing. So that's one defining moment of that. Now, the Tuck Rule game serves as a cautionary tale regarding the impact of officiating on high-stakes games. It highlights the need for clear and objective rules and consistent officiating. Controversy also underscores the passionate nature of the NFL fandom. An enduring impact of the controversial calls can have on a game's legacy and the fan base's perception. How many times has that happened? Big call, and it looks like it should go one way. If it looks like it's a play in football and somebody tells you something differently and it's ruled something differently, that's sort of what this was. I think everybody can tell you it definitely looks like a fumble. And then by today's rules, which we'll get to in a second, it would be a fumble and the Raiders would have had that ball. Now, there's other instances of the Tuck Rule coming up, during its, start in 2009 and its lasting legacy for a little over a decade. In the 2001 season opener, September 23rd, against the New York Jets, the New England Patriots received a controversial call, later known as what the Tucker will be. They helped New England there against the Jets in that 2001 season. And there was just over a minute left in the second quarter, and Jets quarterback Vinny Testaverde appeared to have fumbled the ball after pressure from the Patriots defensive end, Anthony Pleasant. Richard Seymour recovered the fumble, but upon review, the call was overturned to an incomplete pass due to the tuck rule. So this one burned the Patriots a little bit. This controversial call allowed the Jets to tie the game with a field goal on that drive and ultimately win 10-3. Interestingly, the Patriots coach Bill Belichick referenced this game later on the season after the infamous tuck rule game in the playoffs against the Raiders, implied that he knew the rule's potential impact based on its earlier encounter and knew that that challenge flag, which I think he needed to throw the challenge flag at that time. They didn't have the 2 minute of each half of thing at that time. And if you know that, if I'm can be corrected on that, please somebody email me and let me know that, and we will correct that. But I don't think they had that automatic challenge by the booth within 2 minutes back in 2001. Now, another instance was on October 9th, 2005, between the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer lost a fumble while in the Broncos end zone, and that was ruled an incomplete pass instead of a touchdown or safety. However, it resulted, the Broncos got to keep the ball on that. Now, there was a hard-fought AFC wildcard matchup on January 9th, 2011, and the Baltimore Ravens, they defeated the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was also a play in that game where the tuck rule came in and saved somebody's bacon there when it looked like it should have been a fumble. Now, in conclusion, the tuck rule game was not just a single playoff matchup. It was a seismic event that exposed officiating vulnerabilities and spurred significant rule changes. It marked the beginning of a dynastic era in the NFL for the Patriots. And the game remains a hot topic for fans and analysts alike, and a stark reminder of the drama, controversy, and enduring legacy that a single call can leave on the sport. So yes, officials can make a difference. We just want them to be fair and unbiased, level playing field. Sometimes it happens to the best of us. That big call comes at the biggest moment, and you're trying to apply a rule. So don't always blame it on the official. I think the rules makers might be the one at fault here, because I think the officials applied the rule correctly. It was just a poor rule for what football should be in the minds of many, not just myself. Now, in retrospect, in sort of a just result, on March 20th, 2013, some 12 years later, the NFL owners voted 29-1 to abolish the rule at their winter meetings, and the tuck rule was no more. So what do we have today? Today we have a slow things down. They look at it in the booth. There might be a challenge flag on it. It might be within 2 minutes, but now we look at all turnover. So if the other team recovers the ball, it's definitely going to be looked at without the challenge flag. And we look at it, was his arm in motion forward, the quarterback, in the act of throwing a pass? That comes into it. The thing with Brady is his arm was sort of going forward, but downward, way beyond him throwing the pass, unless, he's not going to be spiking the ball back there when he was already... That would have done him no good. It would have been intentional grounding at that point, probably better than a turnover. But that's not what he was trying to do. He was hit, and that ball came out. That was a fumble, I think, and that's the way it would be ruled today by 99.9% of the officials reviewing that play. And probably Oakland would have had that ball had that game happened by today's rules and today's standards of the instant replay and the booth reviews. So just an interesting look to go back in time and look at a famous play and a very controversial rule in NFL history. We hope you enjoyed this. We hope you join us for more football history next time. Until next time, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network, and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.